Well, let's turn to our passage, which is Mark 13, and we're going to be looking at verse 24 to 37. And the theme would be, as Jesus tells us here at the end of this particular chapter, about watching. Some translations have it as stay alert, stay awake, get ready, get prepared for when Jesus comes again. So we need to watch and we need to pray. But by way of an introduction, let's remind ourselves of what we heard of last Sunday. And last Sunday, we were thinking about AD 70 in part. What was AD 70 about? Well, it was about the destruction of the temple in AD 70. And we need to remind ourselves again that when we read a chapter like this, one of the dangers we have is to take certain verses or certain texts from this chapter and make a kind of odd kind of theology over the second coming of Jesus. Jesus here in this chapter, as I've said, is speaking as a prophet. He's telling the disciples, the scriptures are telling us, that there was this near time, a future prophecy concerning the destruction of the temple and the scattering of the Jews at AD 70, that's the crucial date. But also there's a long-term future prophecy to come when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And last time we were thinking there about especially about the sufferings of God's people, the sufferings of Christians, that there will be persecutions, there will be arrests, God's people will be killed. And we said last time that this was the normal for the believers in the world. For the last, I guess, nearly 200 years in this country, life for the Christian hasn't been particularly normal. We've had more or less a time of peace and an opportunity, a liberty to preach the gospel. And we've seen the Lord blessing our land as a result of that. But things are changing in our own day and age. And it may well be that in this nation of ours, God's people, God's true people, will begin to know something of persecution and suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus. But throughout the history of the church, we take it in terms of being worldwide. Well, what you see is the picture of God's people suffering for their Savior. In Mark chapter 13 and verses 21 to 23, we read that Jesus speaking there about the suffering and how there will be these false teachers that are coming in. That might even become part of the church if we're not careful. And he says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. And that's what Jesus is doing here in this chapter. He's telling us the things that are to happen. Well, we're going to move through this chapter now. We're going to come to Mark 13 and verses 24 to 27. But in this first point, I want us to show us, I want to take up what Jesus says about the way that the fabric of creation falls apart. So that's the heading of the first heading there. The fabric of creation falls apart. As you probably know, some of you probably know that in a former life, I studied physics at university, and I had a kind of, I suppose you'd call it, the kind of Newtonian idea of the creation. What I mean by that is that everything in the universe sort of is a bit like a clockwork. The moon orbits the earth orbits the sun, the planets are all in the same places orbiting, and then you have the galaxies that all go, going away from each other. And of course, as a Christian, believing and knowing that God sustains all our creation. And yet there's one thing I was forgetting when I was a student, and it was this, that we live in a fallen creation. Not only the world is fallen, not only we are fallen, but the actual creation itself is broken. And it doesn't always work out as Isaac Newton would have believed all those hundreds of years ago. And one of the things that struck me some years ago, in fact, I can tell you exactly when it struck me, it was July 1994. Some of you weren't even thought of then in those days. July 1994, some of the older members might remember it, there was a comet. And the comet's name was Shoemaker-Levy-9. Now that's a really memorable name, so everybody remembers that one, don't they? Well, what it was that it came into our solar system and it had been captured by the gravitational pull of the gas giant Jupiter. And the scientists had worked out that this comet was going to orbit Jupiter, and eventually, because it's in a declining orbit, it was going to crash into Jupiter. And everybody got excited. And they got their big telescopes out, and they knew exactly when it was going to happen, and they knew exactly where it was going to happen, and they filmed it. And one of the news broadcasts of the day, I think it showed it quite a few times, of this comet going and hitting Jupiter. Well, Jupiter's a gas giant. So what happened? Well, it wasn't a great big explosion. In fact, it was very disappointing. Jupiter just sort of gobbled it up. But at least it said to me, well, things aren't quite perfect in creation because it's fallen. It was perfect, but it isn't. And it's because of sin. It's because of Adam and Eve and that, isn't it? But the trouble is, people today, and perhaps sometimes we're guilty of this, we keep expecting that the creation, the place where we live, is always going to be exactly the same. But it isn't. Even Peter had to write a letter, 1 Peter, where he said that people were saying to him, isn't everything going on the same way as it actually was? Has always been? And he has to remind them about the flood, doesn't he? And he tells them, this isn't going to continue like this. There will be a time. But what we can say is this, that the creation is being kept by Jesus. And Jesus tells us about these times. But this is Mark 13, verse 24, 27. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light. Give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the furthest part of earth to the furthest part of heaven. The Bible tells us in a number of places about the Lord Jesus Christ being as the second person of the Trinity, is the great one who created all things. It also tells us that he's the one who sustains all things. But the creation is broken. And when the Lord comes again, that broken creation is going to be remade. So let's read Hebrews chapter 1. And there we can read from verse 3, I think. Well, we can read verse 2. Well, let's read all of it. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and in those last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Jesus creates the world, the universe, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus sustains the world in which we live. The very air that we breathe, the very life that we have, is all because of Jesus and his sustaining power. And yet we're told in the scriptures that when he returns again, there will be a recreation. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we can go to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, and where John says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away." They passed away because it's broken, because it's fallen. And God is going to recreate a new heaven and a new earth. And when that happens, then God will say again, as he said at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, that it was very good. Well, there's a second point I want to share with you here from our passage in Mark 13. And it is that, as Jesus says, we need to learn the lesson from the fig tree. Learn the lesson from the fig tree. Mark 13, verse 28 to 31, where Jesus says in verse 28, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors." One of the things that I noticed this last week is a number of people telling me spring is just around the corner. And how do they know that? Well, they look at the trees and they see the leaves in bud just about to burst forth. And it's going to be a glorious spring. Because spring's always glorious, isn't it? The summer flowers, the spring flowers and the trees and the pollen, the blossom, it's wonderful. Spring is one of my favorite times of year. You might have worked that one out already. And yet we know it's coming. And Jesus is saying, well, learn the lesson. Learn the lesson from the fig tree. How do you know that summer is coming, says Jesus? Well, he said, look at the fig tree. See, it's about to burst forth in leaf and burst forth in flower. And there's a lesson that we have to learn here. And the lesson that Jesus is telling us here about the fig tree is this. Get ready. Be prepared. For he's coming again. Well, how do you do that? Well, let me suggest four things of how we get prepared and we get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. The first is this. Keep looking. Keep, you know, bear in mind those prophecies, those signs that Jesus has been giving his disciples. Jesus in other portions of the scripture, in other parts of the gospel, talks about the times of wars and rumors of wars, and he talks about the earthquakes and the natural calamities that are happening. You need to keep looking. And as we see that, as we see that we live in a fallen world, it's a reminder to us that at some point, this whole earth, just like the universe, is going to crumble and fall apart. This morning, I was reading from my phone that there's been a great big volcanic activity that's taken place in Iceland. Well, it's happening because we live in a fallen world, but these are just signs. They're just reminders to us to keep looking, because one day the Lord is going to come. Don't stop looking. Keep thinking. When you hear of these disasters, when you hear of these earthquakes, when you hear of tsunamis, when you hear of volcanic activity, think, well, one day when this is happening on earth, there'll be a time when Jesus comes again. Keep waiting. See, one of the problems that we can have is that we think, oh, Jesus isn't going to turn up today. Jesus isn't going to be arriving tomorrow. But no one knows the time. No one knows the day. We need to be ready because Jesus can come again at any time. And we need to keep praying. You know, the early church Paul and Peter, they were praying for the Lord Jesus Christ to come again. Are we praying for the Lord Jesus Christ to come again? Are we praying about the events and the circumstances in this world and praying, Lord, you know, this world is getting so bad, so ungodly. You have to come again. You're going to come again in our own day and age. But the other thing is, this is where it's to do with the master and the servants, is keep busy for the Lord. Keep working until he comes again. Some years ago in Swansea, I knew a group of people who were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were so fixed on the idea that Jesus is going to come again at any moment that, in fact, they never did anything. They just sat down and waited. And I can remember one of them saying to me, well, there's no point doing this or that because Jesus will come to someday soon, so there's no point doing anything. They were a bit like the problem people in Thessalonica that Paul writes about in 2 Thessalonians. They were so focused on themselves and the present and expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come again that they would be, well, Paul called them idle busybodies. No, we're not supposed to be idle busybodies. We're supposed to be engaged in the work of the Master. And we're supposed to be so engaged in the work of the Master that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he'll find us being busy about his work. But we come to verse 30. Now, verse 30 is a bit of a tricky verse, and it was a tricky verse for me when I was a young Christian, where Jesus says this, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Now, certainly I think if you read the New Testament, Paul and Peter were expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back in their lifetime. But that was not in God's plan. And we need to look at this verse and look at it in terms of the context of the chapter. And Jesus here is giving prophecy. And we've already said that in this prophecy of Jesus, that he's talking about the near future. But he's also talking about the long distance future. And in the near future, that generation, the apostles, most of them were living in times where they would have seen the destruction of the temple at AD 70, they would have known the suffering of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles knew that suffering. You can read the early chapters of Acts. If you think of the cross at Calvary, they would have known certain phenomena happening in the sky, the darkening of the sun at the cross, for example, the earthquake which opened those graves. They were seeing the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They saw him ascended into heaven. And of course, on the day of Pentecost, they saw the Holy Spirit coming down, didn't they? Those tongues of fire. That was all fulfilled to that generation. In the short term, in the long term, in the future term, well, I'm pretty certain we're going to see events in the universe that are going to be indicating to us the coming of Jesus. But in case we all get kind of depressed about things, and especially about the suffering of believers, let's go to verse 31, and there in verse 31 we hear this very encouraging word of the Lord Jesus. "Surely I say to you," that's verse 30, sorry, "heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." And what is Jesus is saying? That even though he might have been speaking of some horrendous things that are going to happen in the universe, in creation, the destructions of planets, galaxies or whatever, the darkening of the sun, the moon, and the suffering of God's people and the attacks upon the church of Christ. Jesus is saying that his word and his promises will remain. And what does that mean? It means this, that when the Lord returns, he will find his church waiting for him. He will find his people there to welcome him as the Lord and King. That the Bible will be the Bible until that time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And that's important, because in our day and age, as it was in the days of Peter as well, to a certain extent, people write off the true church of Christ, don't they? I've heard this, especially when we went into the millennium, that people were saying things like, in the media, well, you know, the last millennium was all about the church, but the new millennium has got nothing to do with the church. The church is just a museum piece. It's just going to be fossilized. It's going to be extinct. Well, the Bible tells us otherwise, doesn't it? Heaven and earth will pass away, says Jesus, but my words will by no means pass away. People will dismiss the coming of Jesus. Well, they did that in the days of Peter. And people who will dismiss, write off the church of true church of Christ and dismiss the second coming of Jesus, do so at their immortal peril. Because although the heavens and the earth may not last forever, well, they won't. But God's people and God's church will. Jesus Christ will come again and his church will be kept to welcome him. Even though the earth and heaven, the old earth and the old heaven, will be no more. Well, let's take a third point, a closing point this morning, and it's this, that no one knows the hour. And especially we'll go to verse 32, Mark 13, verse 32. But of that day, that time when he comes, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, over the years, people have given me various books. People have given me various cassettes with sermons. People have suggested I go and look at some video. And people have told me, we know when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. I've had a few of those in my time. But one specific person comes to mind. He was a young man when I was a young Christian. And he calculated, he said, that the Antichrist was Leo the X. I don't suppose you know who Leo the X was, but he was the Pope around about the time of Martin Luther and the Reformation. He's the Antichrist, and he said, well, I've read through the scriptures, I've done all these calculations, and I can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in 2030, or thereabouts. So we've got to wait for a bit longer, if that helps you. But that's what he thought. He was a clever guy, very much into the Bible at that time. But one of the things I've noticed about people who keep wanting to tell me when the Lord Jesus Christ has come or is going to come is that they don't really look at Scripture sometimes. They want to think of themselves as great Bible scholars. But what they're actually saying is this, we know better than Jesus. We know better than the angels. Because what does Jesus say about his coming? But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So, what I want to say to you this morning is this. Don't speculate when the Lord's going to come. I know the times are difficult. I know the times are bad. I know it may look as if the future is really quite dark about things. And you might think, well, surely it can't get any worse than this, perhaps. But don't speculate. Watch and pray. That's what Jesus told us to do. That's what he told his disciples to do. He told them what was coming, but he tells them, watch and pray. Keep looking. Keep expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Keep serving as faithful servants of Jesus. Keep praying for his coming. And to end the chapter, and what Jesus was saying to his disciples, this is what Jesus said at the end. It's verse 37 of Mark 13. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Or if you want to take another translation, keep alert. Keep awake. And one thing I want to say to you is this. That word watch, it's one word in the Greek. That word watch is a command. There's a special tense in the Greek, which it's a tense which is a tense of command. And Jesus is saying, watch. That's what we've got to do. We're not going to say that it's April the 13th, 2027, when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. No, we watch. We're getting prepared. We're getting ready. We don't fall asleep. We expect his coming. We want his coming. We pray for his coming. But we find ourselves busy about our master's business. And we're watching. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the certainty. There are so many certainties in the scriptures, but for the certainty that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, will come again. And we pray, Father, that we will be ready for his coming. Lord, if we don't know you, if we don't love you, we ask and pray that through your Spirit you might speak to our souls and to our minds, that we would see Jesus and we would know Jesus to be the one Savior, the one Lord. And we pray, Father, for those of us who do know and love the Lord Jesus, Lord, keep us watching, keep us praying, keep us working, serving. Keep us ready, prepared for when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, and that we might indeed be found as faithful servants. And that, Lord, we might be able to hear those words when there's been that recreation of a new heaven and a new earth, that you will say once more that everything, ourselves included, are very good. In Jesus' name, amen.